Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Now to get into our conversation with Dr. Atalagbe, who's joining us to speak about ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and we're going to be getting some information about the symptoms. And so let's get straight into that conversation. Dr. Atalagbe, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Bongi. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Doctor. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Happy to hear that. So we're talking about ADHD, Doctor, and this is marked by an ongoing pattern of inattention and or hyperactivity or impulsivity that interferes with functioning or development. So would you share with us maybe the symptoms of ADHD and anything we need to understand? There might be some misconceptions out there for a lot of us who might not really be familiar with the condition.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There may be some confusion out there because generally when we look at the little children, yes, they may struggle many times to pay attention, mm-hmm. to listen, to follow direction, to even sit still or wait their turn. But when we talk about ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, we are looking at children who are struggling more,
okay,
harder. And it happens more often, the inattentiveness, easily getting distracted. These young ones have trouble focusing their attention on something that they're supposed to focus attention on. Mm-hmm. They cannot concentrate and they stay very little time on any task. They cannot stay on doing anything. Then they daydream and dwaddle too much. That is, they are just slow and just generally not able to finish their task. Mm-hmm. They seem to be absent-minded or forgetful and lose track of things. This is still in the area of the ability or inability to pay attention, to be attentive, okay, to something. So you see, there is definite difference and intent actions that is going on with such children or young people generally. But yes, it is a children's problem generally. But then children that don't overcome it as children, they go into the teen years and they are still doing the very same thing. Mm. So the inability to be attentive is one prominent symptom of ADHD.
Okay.
Then the hyperactivity that you mentioned is also another major problem. They fidget, they are restless, they get easily bored, and they have trouble sitting or staying quiet, mm-hmm. when needed. It's hard to take such children to church.
Yes, I can.
They can't sit still for a few minutes. So they rush through things. They make careless mistakes. They climb, they jump, they rough house when they should not. Mm-hmm. And they may act in ways that disrupt others. They just don't allow things to run as they are supposed to.
Yeah.
I have had to work with such children, so I know, as I'm saying them, I'm having some scenarios coming into my mind. And the third major area is that they are impulsive.
Okay.
They act before thinking. They often interrupt others. You may be talking, they just jump into you and start having their own way or wanting to have their way and just want things their own way and push or grab, and they find it difficult to wait. They can, mm-hmm. you can't put them on a line and say, well, wait and let others take turns.
Wait,
they cannot.
Time.
It's just difficult. They can't. They may do things without asking permission. They take things that is not theirs, and they take actions that are very risky. And they may react emotionally to things that seem too intense for the situation. For instance, you hold a child's hand and say, come on, let's go away from here. And the child starts screaming, mm. as if you have done something wrong to that child.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. Parents find these actions frustrating. They wonder, how did we get here?
Yeah.
I remember the case of a little boy that the mother got concerned. He should be about 6 or 7 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you will imagine such a child should know that you cannot put plastic on fire.
Right.
And this boy just put water in plastic, and he was ready to push the mother's cooking pot to one side and put his own plastic filled with with water because he wants to boil water.
Oh, wow.
And the mother was alarmed. How could you think this way?
Oh, no.
And she just said, this is no. And you visit the place, you jump on the sofa and tell that I bring down the pictures. I bring them down. You say, what happened to your face? Oh, the glass broke and I cut my skin.
Oh.
When did the glass break? Oh, I pulled down the pictures. So you see some things happen with such child that they have ADHD
and it's very, very good.
Yes, they become a danger to themselves, become a danger to others, especially children or their siblings. They are really, really very dangerous to themselves. So these are the symptoms that we can give as indicators that, yes, this child or this young person is having this problem. It is a medical condition, by the way.
Okay.
It is a disorder.
It's interesting you say that because I know someone is listening right now and thinking this just sounds like an ill-disciplined child. How can you tell the difference between where it's a medical condition, there's actually something wrong or something that needs to be paid attention to in this child versus it's just a child who has been quote-unquote spoiled? This is just a child who lacks discipline. How do you tell the difference?
You know, it's difficult to tell the difference. It's really difficult. But when it comes to this scenario that I have painted, where a child takes, for instance, put water in a plastic container and ready to put it on fire, then you know that something serious is going on in that child's brain.
Yes.
So with ADHD, medical science has found that there are differences in brain development and brain activity in such children. So there is evidence that there is brain activities, let me say, that is not right in these children.
Okay.
So it's a medical condition and it needs medical attention because if something is not done, like you rightly said, this child becomes a danger to himself and a danger to others. So it is indeed a medical condition. Yes. We can see and say, yes, this child is just spoiled and is doing all of these things and you need to discipline this child and so forth. Well, that is needed, but we must take care of the dysfunction in the brain.
Yes.
Because that definitely has happened. Well, what many scientists have found out, especially in natural healthcare, is that there is a serious deficiency of the B vitamins.
Okay.
Such children lack the B vitamins, and natural science, they use supplements of B vitamins to help the situation. Yes, there are many approaches to solving this problem, but as a naturopathic physician, I choose where we will use more natural things to help the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And because I have been involved in such help, I know that it works. I know that supplementing the B vitamins have been a lot of help for the children. And I have read several works of those teenagers who have been diagnosed with ADHD, and they have put them on a proper lifestyle, eating habit, physical exercise, adequate water intake, trust in God. They have found that these children, they reverse the problems.
Mm.
But if they are put on medications like Ritalin that they use a lot in many countries, usually they do not get healed, and I use the word carefully, they do not get healed, but rather the behavior will just be controlled to a certain extent, but then they will still develop adult variants of ADHD.
Okay.
And many times, young people who are classified as delinquents will soon become criminals because the lifestyle patterns have not changed. Medications have just been used to suppress the brain activities, but then the brain cannot be suppressed with poison because the medications, they can just transfer the problem to from one side to another. And that is what we are seeing in medical literature. Because there is a lady I have read her work, Barbara Stitt. She worked in the coroner's office and she was frustrated with having young people come to her with delinquent behavior. And she herself, because she had some issues with attention, and she went to her doctor's office, and at the doctor's office, she found a literature that helped her to leave the drinking of coffee, highly processed foods, animal products, and she changed to more natural foods, as in Genesis 1:29, fruits, whole grains, nuts, and then Genesis 3:18, adding vegetables. And when she says she did this, her forgetfulness, her inattentiveness went away. So she then decided to try this on youngsters that are brought into her office as a juror. And she will put them on natural food. She will take them off milkshakes, corn chips, potato chips, and all these highly processed foods, and put them on a more natural meal. And she reported in, she has written several books, Margaret Stitt, and she said they change. By the time they are put on probation, they become different teenagers. And they have tried it also in the prisons, dividing prisoners into two, and then putting one group who choose to accept it, of course, on the more natural food, and then the others on the regular standard American diet. These researches were done in US. And they found that those who were on the natural Bible-based food, I would say, they are helped. If they leave the prison after their terms, they don't come back. But the other side that eat all of the animal products, they are fighting, they are still doing all the atrocities that brought them into the prison in the first place, and so forth. So these are things that our listeners can look into to help these little ones. And well, once time is running off, I want to mention two other names before time is really gone. And that is William Duffy. William Duffy wrote the book Sugar Blues. He investigated the dietary history of reform school children. And he found that reform school children, if they take them off their food of choice, which is sweets, cakes, caffeinated beverages, and all foods prepared with sugar, sugar has been found to be a major culprit in ADHD. Because foods that are high in sugar, they overstimulate the adrenals. Now, what do adrenal gland produce? Adrenaline. And adrenaline is a fight or flight response. So they are fighting, they are running, and they are doing all of this because the sugar is exciting the adrenal gland. And then the other name I want to mention is that of Dr. Jim Sharps of International Institute of Original Medicine. I love his nutrient hierarchy, where he divided foods into five groups. From group one, coming into air, water, sunlight, earth magnetic field, basic needed necessity of life, to group two, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. Group three, the whole grains, the rye, the wheat, the corn, the oats, whole. And then group four, flesh foods, dairy products, and so forth. And group five, which he identified as the most dangerous type of food that has been found to be associated with ADHD and other health issues, really. Processed foods. They are called synthetic foods. And today, I tell you, we eat a lot of processed foods. We don't have time, again, to make food at home. And children run off from home with sometimes no breakfast, but a little brown bag, and that brown little bag has some chocolate and some cheese snacks. Well, they are now filled with carrots and some nuts and whole grains, foods, and so forth. So natural scientists are identifying that these foods filled with sugar are very, very important culprits that we need to take care of if we are going to help children or teenagers with hyperactivities that is getting more and more. And also, when we have children with hyperactivity, they also have low immunity. So they get sick very quickly.
Right.
And when they are in the younger age category, when children are sick, they are angry because they can't express to you how they are feeling. So they express their anger and their discomfort in behaviors that are not right. So we have these problems, and yes, we say, which one came first, the chicken or the egg? Egg or the chicken? But the correlation is high.
Yeah.
The correlation is high between food that is high in sugar. They are addictive, they are inflammatory, they inflame the brain too, they weaken the immune system. And so we should encourage parents and give our children less of these synthetic foods, these highly processed foods, but rather go to all these high processed foods. Because that boy that I told you, the mother came to me when he put a plastic bowl with water on fire. Yes, we supplemented his B vitamins. We took off, we removed the TV cord. That's another thing. And then we put the boy on a high natural Bible-based nutrient, which is filled with whole grain foods and no more synthetic foods or highly processed food. The mother spent a lot of time to do all of this, and we got the boy back. He was calm.
Oh, wow.
The teacher could not believe her eyes.
Really?
Reported all the time that this boy has changed. What happened?
That's incredible.
And the the mother said, I prayed and I did what is right. I fed my son the right type of food. I paid attention to more details. I do give her snacks to take to school. I give her food to take to school. And we can learn to make some of these foods that are nice, that can still be taken as food to put in our children's food flask, rather than just buying sugar-coated cereals, hurrying them off to school in the morning, and then they are hyperactive, their brain functioning is just rewired in the wrong way, and then they are growing in such a way, and parents are frustrated. And if care is not taken, which is what I have seen before, because I did spend several years in working with the Pathfinder, and I saw children growing from busy bees in before Pathfinder, getting into the Pathfinder years and misbehaving. And if we have to take them on camping, we have to search their bags and remove all the sweet sugars and candies and so forth, if we don't want them to jump out of the bus.
Yes.
And seeing all of this is just first time working with children since, you know, for so many years, and see the ones that cooperated with us, the ones that their parents help us to help them, they become gentlemen, they become respectable children in the church, and we see them growing to have strong, happy homes compared to the ones that we just could not help, who maybe the parents did not want us to interfere with their children's choices of their candies and so forth.
Yeah.
We see what became of them, and it's sad, but then it's real. It's real.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's very interesting. Thank you so much, Doctor, for coming through today and sharing that. It's incredible how much we can change the course of our children's lives simply just with the diet. And I think the unfortunate thing is that too many of us wait until something has happened We wait until the child has put something on the fire, then that's when we panic. But hopefully, hopefully this can be a warning to the rest of us that before you even get to that stage, maybe pay a little bit more attention to what we're feeding, not only our children, but even ourselves. Because yeah, for sure, it's a serious problem. But thank you so much, Doc, for coming through and for a very insightful conversation.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.